and welcome to the British Podcast, a World of Us cast on oneofus.net. I'm getting better at that.
You are getting better at that. Well done.
Starting to remember it more. Hello, I'm the Duke of Havoc, and with me, as always, is Kia.
Hello, everybody.
So, we're recording this a bit late because, well, we've been a bit ill.
Because of life in general?
No, because of Concrud.
Ah, yeah, we did get the commie flu.
Are you feeling better now?
I'm feeling fine, yeah.
I'm almost there. I still have a bit of a sore throat and my ears keep popping, but I felt like I was on death's door for a while. I think it was, like, technically worse than anyone else had ever felt, ever.
Really? Yeah. God, you're full of crap.
Well, you know, I'm a man, I managed to pull through, I still went to work, just soldiered on.
Yeah, well done.
I thought I did really well.
Oh, you did really well.
It didn't help that it's currently 30-odd degrees outside and my work decides to put its aircon on to minus 10 and it's directly fucking above me. I'm sitting there with a coat on. Looking outside at the gorgeous sunshine, where everyone's looking at me like I'm some kind of fucking weird alien. But I was sitting there slowly shivering. I looked like the scene out of The Shining at the end, where Jack Nicholson's sitting there in the snow, just like freezing cold. So you're shaking your head at me, aren't you?
I haven't seen that movie.
No. But we can now scrub a film off that list.
Yes, we can.
We broke your Star Wars cherry last weekend. That was nice.
It was. I actually did. I did very much enjoy it. So there were obviously some glaring errors that I would put into it.
They're not errors.
Oh, they're not
errors. No, I don't think there's any errors with the film. I think there's...
You got a big fuck off ship.
Oh, yeah.
With a whole bunch of dicks on it who couldn't give a shit about human life. And there is, okay, two things with this. Two. One, they could have just blown up the planet and would have blown the moon to shit.
So you're right, okay. So let's clarify this. So this is at the end of Star Wars.
This is
the end of A New Hope.
A New Hope.
And the Death Star is trying to get line of sight.
Well, also, it takes them what? 30 seconds to travel halfway across the galaxy and they can't get around a planet in like 30 minutes? The fuck's up with that?
I don't know. Do they actually jump into hyperspace beforehand or not? Or
how
is it nearby?
It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous how it's like, move your... Why are you waiting for them to come around the planet? Move your fucking ship slightly to the left and you'd be able to hit them. Or, alternatively, since you're all a bunch of completely evil sons of bitches, blow the planet up and then the moon goes with it because it's orbiting the planet.
Yeah. Yeah, it would lose its gravitational pull.
It would
pull.
Be blown it to would just, shite. Yeah, that would be it.
Yeah. And that really upset me that in some hundred years, in some hundred viewings of A New Hope, I'd never thought about that. And you just come along. But you also did point out some very... things I think I was aware of but didn't really pay attention to was how vested Han becomes in the rebellion and in Luke when they spend fuck all screen time together. And I've been thinking about that recently. When I look at the original trilogy, when I think over the total time, which is probably, what, 6 hours? I think, like, Han and Luke are on screen together for probably no more than, I'm going to say, half an hour.
I think the thing is it's not necessarily him becoming invested so much in Luke. He's a mercenary and he has absolutely no reason to come back and save any ship, let alone how the fuck did he manage to, what, just wire in on their comm systems? Like, so you haven't encrypted your comm system to be able to not, it's like... Dude, you're running some really, really scabby security. I mean, you know, McAfee could do better. What the fuck? It's like, They haven't... This, like, why? Why did he come back?
Yeah. But, I mean, glaring issues aside, you enjoyed the film.
I did enjoy the film. I am, you know, I'm big into sci-fi. So that, you know, helps loads, because it does just mean that I can look past a lot of the bad things. I can really sort of, you know, there's always going to be things with sci-fi where it's just like, well, how did we get that and why did we end up there? You know, I'm someone who watched Voyager, so it's fine.
So have you watched all of the Star Trek, apart from the original trilogy, well, the original series? Have you watched, like, you watched Voyager, Enterprise, DS9?
Yeah.
What's the other one?
So...
Oh, Next Generation.
Yeah.
So you've watched all of it, but you've never watched the original, or not?
I've watched bits of the original, enough to sort of know, but I haven't watched a lot of the movies, but I have... I doubt that there is an episode of either Next Generation, Voyager, DS9, or Stargate that I haven't seen. Because that was literally the background of my childhood, was that was always on.
You know, it's all on Netflix, ain't you?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm waiting for that to be your next consumption.
No, I've got 20 episodes of The Vampire Diaries to get through.
Oh, fucking hell. Yay.
You don't have to watch them.
I'm not watching them, that's fine. I just, yeah. Something which has been very big, but rather disappointing. Monty Python have obviously been back on stage.
Yes.
At the O2.
Everyone has been very, very, very excited pre-show.
Yeah, and I thought about wanting to go, but I thought tickets were rocking horse shit. Then to find out from certain people online that they were quite easy to get hold of. And then was going to go and watch it in the cinema, because we thought they were only broadcasting it in cinemas. But then to find out that a channel in the UK called Gold was showing it almost live on Sunday night, which was the final... showing, like, apparently the final time the Python's ever going to be together on stage.
Yeah.
So I sort of recorded it, and I'm about halfway through it. I wanted to try and watch it all before we spoke on here, but it's really disappointing. And it's not that it's not good. It's a case of they are literally, and I guess this is the weird thing. If a band came out of retirement after 40 years, you'd want to hear all their greatest hits.
Yep. You would want them to play the biggest hits from...
Like their back catalogue.
Yeah. If they stood up there and decided to be like, oh, well, we're going to have written all of these new songs and we're not doing any of our old stuff, you'd just be like, what the fuck, dude? Seriously.
Yeah. I mean, they might throw the occasional new song in there, but mainly people are like, play this song. It's just like... But for comedy, for some odd reason, your material's got... Apart from obviously the classic stuff, but in terms of stand-up comedians that are out at the moment, and Louis C.K. is very much one of these guys that he does material for a year, then he throws it all away and does a whole new load of material for a year. Where some comedians will do stuff for maybe 18 months.
Mm.
Obviously, it's like, it's great seeing like the 1972, I think it's the Munich Olympics, where you've got events like, I think it's the 1500 meter steeplechase with no sense of direction. Oh no, it's 100 meter, no sense of direction. And the marathon, where everyone's got incontinence, you know, and also then seeing things like Greece versus Germany, philosophers, football match. They're all classic sketches, which I've seen 100 times.
Mm.
But to think that I could have paid 150 quid to go, and not even for them to actually do it live on stage, because some of those are logistically just aren't possible, but to then just put it up on the big screen?
Yeah.
I don't know whether I'd feel a bit duped. And you mean, you watched some of it with me yesterday, and they weren't on stage for a lot. They have like a lot of singers and dancers come out and do stuff. I mean, the guys are getting on. But I don't know whether I'm kind of glad. I'm just a little bit disappointed, but also I do get it. I'm not like raging about it, but
I think it's that thing that whenever you have something that is good in itself, but is also a lot due to nostalgia, that people will look and be able to say that was a classic era of comedy, and also to be able to point at so many people within the group and show exactly what they had done. It was a real defining moment for British comedy, and then they go on and do all of these amazing things, and you're just like, these people are fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't necessarily mean that bringing them all back together is going to create that same spark. It's just going to be very, very, very different.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's very much, it was Eric Idle Dread and Eric Led, sorry, and Eric Idle has always been the one known for how much money can he make out of it. And it's always been his thing of how much money is it in there for him. So he did the Spamalot show, which was like a Monty Python musical, because there was money to be made out of it. He's released like the Always Look on the Bright Side of Life as a single and stuff to make money
Monty
out
Python
of it.
Spamalot was very good.
I haven't seen it. I don't doubt it's not good. I think it's a case of the others didn't really want to sign off on it. And I think he eventually got them to agree to it.
I saw them do all of Shakespeare's works. Apart from, I think they missed out one Spamalot things. It was very amazing.
Okay. And it isn't a show I wouldn't mind seeing, because it's probably in the same kind of category as the likes of Book of Mormon in terms of a funny musical rather than Jersey Boys or We Will Rock You or whatever, stuff that I'm not really interested in seeing. But yeah, just it does feel very much like a bit of a cash grab, which I can understand. I know people said it's for their retirement funds and things, but I don't know whether I would have felt, and I did see some reviews. I think The Independent gave it like 2 stars because it was like, this is pretty much like watching a greatest hits DVD.
Mm.
But
it's that thing again of what did you expect?
Yeah.
We come out and we do something different.
Mm.
You all say, well, we paid to see classic Monty Python.
Mm.
But that was the point of it, is it wasn't classic when they did it.
Right.
It was new and innovative when they did it, and it's become classic. So what do you want? Do you want new, innovative material that is done by the same people who created that original innovation, or do you want the classics?
Yeah.
In which case, you're going to have seen it all before, and you're going to have to accept that.
Yeah. I mean, I think a couple of sketches I've seen so far that are original is the Pope and Michelangelo, and also the Chocolate Factory one.
The Chocolate Factory one I saw, yeah.
Yeah, which made you laugh.
Yeah, it did.
Yeah.
But I'm a big Fawlty Towers fan, so.
Yes, you're going to instantly. Where John Cleese is in a position of power with a little sidekick.
Yeah.
He's
very
in,
Manuelish.
Which obviously is Terry Gilliam, you know, director of like 12 Monkeys and Brazil and the Baron Munchausen film. Like. That's so odd that he's probably the most successful out of all of them. Like, he's gone on to become a Hollywood director. He's directed big names and he's made thought-provoking sci-fi films, and he's kind of the real...
Being sick in his own hat and pouring it over his own head?
Yeah, he is the real slapstick element of the team,
yeah.
I think. John's always very much the authoritarian figure. Eric's kind of the singer and the cheeky chappy. God, I'm going to run out of their bloody names.
I have not seen much of Python, so
yeah, it's on the list. I think for you, I think Life of Brian and The Holy Grail have to go on the list. I think of films we need to watch because they're in the top five all times best comedies, especially The Life of Brian. It's just, I remember watching that for the first time as like an 11-year-old. And shocked that my dad let me watch it, but I'm so glad my dad did, because it was such a baptism of fire of, it shaped my comedy very much so. I mean, in terms of, I'm so glad that I avoided very bland British comedy.
Mm.
And I think we have it on both sides of the Atlantic. You have the really good cutting edge comedians, and then you've got that bland appeals to the masses comedians. You've got, over here, you've got, like, John Bishop, who's the posh twat who shakes his head all the time?
Don't know.
You don't know his name. See, this is how unimportant he is. There's so many comedians out there that are just... Miranda is like another one whose name, so now I can't forget. Like, and like, you got then got like Mrs. Brown Boys. It's such common denominator comedy. And over in America, you've got the likes of Chelsea Handler and Dane Cook. But then you've got Louis C.K. and Mark Maron.
I love Louis.
Yeah. And then over here, you've got Stuart Lee and you've got Richard Herring. And
so you're a big comedy buff, and I don't tend, I haven't really watched a huge amount of like stand up over the past decade.
Yeah, I've got you to watch quite a bit of Louis, haven't I?
Yeah. I don't like the series.
You're a fool.
I don't. It's just not.
It is dark. And it's got a lot darker as well. It never used to be as dark.
I find it
awkward.
Dull. I wouldn't say awkward.
No.
There are certain awkward elements to it, and that's fine, but I'm just like, it's more like, why am I watching this? Because it's not actually making me laugh or. Yeah, or massively question anything.
I think it's because it's so existential.
It's like, well, what is it? Is it a comedy show? Is it a soap opera? What is it?
It's a very hard sell, but I think if you're into it, you're into it. And I think because I'm so in love with Louis, I think maybe I'll give him a bit more credit. The first two series were very funny, and this one has been a lot darker. But he's a filmmaker as well. He wants to make like serious film as well. I think maybe this is,
which I think he'd be perfectly capable of. But I think that this is trying to cross too many things in one, and I don't understand exactly what he's trying to do with it.
Well, he features a lot less of his stand up in his show. He used to have like quite a lot of his stand up material sprinkled throughout the episode, and it's very little now.
No,
I think it's definitely
like
become
5 minutes max.
It's become not. It's not a drama. What would it be? It's almost like a
documentary.
A sociological like documentary into a man who's clearly unhappy with himself.
So that's not what I'm watching it for.
No.
I'm watching it because it's Louis.
Okay. Well, how do we get to there from Monty Python? But anyway, yeah. So Monty Python, and it's very Britishness, and it's something that I can almost guarantee if I ever hear an American comedian talk about their influences, top of that list is normally
Monty Python.
So yeah, it was a little bit disappointing, but keeping a very British theme,
yes,
something has been going like gangbusters on Facebook.
It pretty much sprung up this morning.
I saw it the other day.
I know, I saw it spring up this morning, and so I clicked on it, and it was 32 things British people have to deal with in 2014.
So, are we going to do all 32? I think we should.
Yeah, let's go through the list.
If you don't like it, skip forward about 10 minutes. But these are going to be very, very British things, and we'll try and explain them as we can. I kind of wish I hadn't read the list before now, because I'm not going to laugh. I actually had tears in my eyes reading some of these.
Yeah, I have to say, it was that thing of just like, that's so true.
Yeah. But number one. This may need some explanation straight off the bat. I met Rolf Harris when I was young, and he didn't try anything. Now I think I was an ugly child. Actually, these are kind of like Cards Against Humanity answers.
Yeah, that would be a great. Oh, we've got blank ones. That's good.
Yeah.
On.
So I met blank,
and now I think I was.
Yeah.
But basically, yeah, Rolf Harris has been
put down.
Put down.
Gone to the slammer.
He has, been convicted of child abuse. And he was massive on TV when we were kids in the 80s. And so,
Yeah, he's one of a fuck ton of TV personalities from the 60s, 70s and 80s who are currently all facing allegations and have been covered up by
The BBC
and other people. So that's causing all things. But
I loved number two because it's just I've just had to tell BT I want porn. Which, for one, for me, I just keep going on to the fact that I have to keep there's different mice mobile phone provider, cellular provider over here. is EE, and they also have a thing of restricted access, and I keep phoning them up and being like, dude, seriously, like, why can't I get onto this website? And they're just like, oh no, I don't know, it's all turned off. And then I try to go onto porn and it won't let me. It's really fucking irritating.
So BT are like one of the biggest, they were
a monopoly.
Well, it was a government thing. Yeah. They were publicly owned and they got sold off. Are they still?
I have no idea. Anyway, they own pretty much everybody's internet.
And they decided that because kids can't be trusted on the internet, and because there is, you know, a smattering of people out there who perhaps are doing nefarious things on the internet, all of us law-abiding fucking citizens...
You have to opt in.
You have to opt in to watch porn instead of opting out. Fuck
is
you.
Just,
it's like, so if you don't want to watch it, then don't do it. If we want to, I don't have to. Luckily, so far, we've got BT at home here.
The best...
And we haven't had to do it.
The best thing was last year when I was living with a flatmate who I ended up discussing with her afterwards, has never watched porn. She's never watched porn. She's my age.
And she's 30. Yeah.
Never watched porn. And I then had gone on and I was like, seriously, sort this shit out. And she's like, I don't know. I didn't know that existed. I've never been onto porn sites. I was like, you are going to have a very angry flatmate in about 3 days if you do not get this shit sorted. Between BT and EE cutting me off, I will kill people. It will happen.
Number three. I can't go anywhere without being told to keep calm and do something.
Oh, it's the posters.
It's the... Yeah.
Fucking keep calm posters. They're everywhere.
It's keep like, calm and call the doctor.
Keep
calm
and eat a cupcake.
Yeah.
It's like, no.
Keep calm and go die in a fire. It's just... everywhere. And do you know how it started?
No.
It was generally keep calm. What was the actual original one now? I can't even remember.
No idea.
Yeah. The original version of that poster, which I'm going to have to Google now because that's going to annoy the fuck out of me. And I bet even then it doesn't even come up. Keep calm and carry on.
Oh, yeah, there you
Here
go.
Here we go. So keep calm and carry on was a poster designed by the government back in the war. And the original design, but was never used. But this little bookshop had a whole bunch of archive stuff, and when they went through, they found it. So they decided to put it up in their little bookshop. And it's a cool bookshop. I think it's got like little trains that go round.
Where is it?
It's in the UK.
Is it in Portobello Road?
Fuck knows. I remember seeing a video about it. Someone made a really cool video. It's on YouTube somewhere. Go Google it. And they had this poster up, and people started taking photos of it. Well, because it's public domain, because no one owns it, every fucking Del Boy entrepreneur twat can go and use it and create anything they want.
Yeah, it's got way too much now.
But yeah,
way too much. Yeah. I love number four. I made eye contact with a stranger on the tube. We both looked away out of the window and our reflections made eye contact.
Oops. What is it with... Is there definitely a southern thing? We do not like social interaction when we're on public transport.
I don't mind it. I'm always that crazy person that, you know, will talk to people and then everyone starts sort of looking like, why the fuck are you talking to to the mentalist? But
yeah, it is a thing of
that
you like, do...
Which mentalist?
Or it might be... I think it's similarly. It's like you may be kind of accidentally staring at the hot person via the thing and then they catch your eye in the reflection and you're like, busted! But yeah,
that was a good one. I'm often trying to take pictures of things that people are wearing, either shoes
or handbags. That's not creepy at all. That's not creepy. It's creepy. Number five, being unable to pay for something with the exact change without saying, I think that's right. Yeah, it's a very...
We're so apologetic in the UK that we're not even actually sure if we can add shit up correctly.
No. Go on, next one.
Briefly opening the window and letting in 50 midges, 20 flies, 7 bees, 2 pigeons and a fox.
We are like Snow White. We will, or like in Enchanted. Oh, you haven't seen Enchanted.
I've seen the video for when she sings and they're all the shit. Yeah.
But we have got an abundance of shitty wildlife in this country. We haven't got awesome...
Well, not anything like... You know, other countries, you could be in Australia and you'd be laying in some sort of... At least all of these things aren't necessarily deadly.
No, but they're just irritating.
Yeah, I have to say, like, the fact that...
There's a fly over there at the moment and every night it's buzz, 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 buzz. That's all he does.
Yeah.
But yeah, it is a case of you can't really open your windows in the UK. The next one is running out of ways to say thanks when a succession of doors are held open for you, having already deployed. Cheers. Ta. Nice one. It's just, it is a case of thank you. 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 And just, yeah, I guess in the end I stop.
Then you're that douchebag that doesn't thank somebody for holding the door open.
I just nod, or I might salute. Han Solo style. I'll just give him a salute. Or even a finger. A little finger trinker.
A little thumbs up.
Little thumbs up. Maybe two thumbs up if they're thinking they're really special.
Like the in-betweeners.
Yeah. Go on.
Waiting for permission to leave after paying for something with the exact change.
Yeah.
It's again that thing of, I'm really not sure whether I'm right.
I know I've stood there for 10 minutes and counted out all of that money with a queen's head on it. I know it's right because I'm an intelligent human being, but I need you to tell me it's okay because I feel rude if I walk away.
Today, I went out and bought some butter from the farmer's market. And he said £2.15. And I gave him £2.50 and then got back to the house. And I walked off and then looked on the side of the packet and I was like, oh, £2.15.
So you left 35p change.
So I left. I'm going to classify it as a tip. Our American friends will understand that you
tip someone for buying some butter.
I tipped somebody for buying butter.
You're a moron. We have to opt into view porn, but we can't opt out of royal baby news. The little fucker turned one this week.
This has not popped up on my feed at all. I have some very anti-royal people.
I was almost going to say something, but it's another point coming up in a minute, so we'll move on. But basically,
I loved this one. This one. I want to buy a cheap pair of tracksuit bottoms for the gym, but every pair I find is expensive because chavs wear them as fashion items.
I wanted to buy a fucking tracksuit to just wear out. And I also wanted a tracksuit to cosplay as one of the bros from Hawkeye.
How much is it? Like 120 quid?
Yeah, it's like £70 onwards. It's like, fuck off.
For the whole shell suit, it was going to be costing you, including the trainers, it was like 120 quid, which is like $190 for a pair of trainers. Not even like a massively fashionable pair of trainers, just like a bog standard pair of
like Adidas trainers. And it's an Adidas tracksuit, but it costs me like more than what some people spend on a suit. It's like, go fuck yourself. Prince George is a year old and has already visited half the countries I've always wanted to. The little fucking tax-dodging, country-skipping bastard. Just on a holiday, why is he in the fucking press? Why are his fam... Why, Kia? Why?
I don't know. You know what they're like? They get obsessed over babies. I don't know. He hasn't popped up on my feed. I banned him. I get more. This reminded me of a friend of mine, Georgie, who we went through.
This is the one I laughed at.
We went through her phone the other day because it said she had 64 messages. And I was like, what the fuck? What the actual fuck? And so I think it might have been more than that. And we went through. And because she's moved quite a few times, there were Domino's pizza messages from everywhere she's pretty much ever been, including some that were not in English.
No, I do like. I'm like, oh.
So the message actually is: I get more text messages from my local Domino's than any of my friends.
Yep, that's so true. And it is a case of like, oh, text message. Hey, it's two for one Tuesday. Who eats pizza on a Tuesday?
People.
No,
I can eat pizza on Tuesday.
I didn't say I can't eat pizza. I'm just saying perhaps it's not a great way to live your lifestyle.
I'm fine.
You're fine. Yeah. Okay. I pay £9,000 to go to this university, and they don't even have Dyson Airblades in the toilets. Have Dyson Airblades made it across the pond?
I'm not sure. They are really good.
They're an upside down jetpack.
They're the only way to dry your hands. To actually, you know, you go in and they never work. The hand dryers just never actually dry your hands. This literally blows the skin off your hands. So the fact
you can actually see the bones in your hands because it makes it.
They are my favorite thing. I love them, and plus I love that there is a. They're really modern looking. Obviously, they look very similar to the Dyson Hoovers and everything like that. But there is the bar in Oxford Circus, the restaurant. We were there with my mum.
We're doing brilliantly. Oh, what, the Riding House Cafe?
Yeah, the Riding House Cafe, thank you. And they have them in the toilets down there, but all of their whole decor is really, really old school, so they've actually
it's
covered them all in copper. Yeah, they've sort of steampunked out the Dyson Airblade.
Stick now a cog on there.
Yeah, it's done. But yeah, it was really cool.
Is it you next? Yes.
I wish to feed myself at Heathrow, but do not want to go into debt.
I think that applies to all airports around the world, doesn't it?
No. I've eaten at, Dallas Airport, perfectly reasonable food options there. There is other reasonable food options apart from just McDonald's. Any of the Thai restaurant, airports I've been to, Korea, everywhere was super reasonable. I don't know whether Heathrow is just the thing. To be honest, actually, they do have an eat there, but it is still
Yeah, but never mind. I tutted at someone who pushed into the queue and they turned and looked at me. Yeah, it is a case of we're so passive aggressive. And then they turned and looked at me.
It's how about you just say, listen, dickface, you just pushed into the queue. Move. Go to the back of it. How dare you? My 64-year-old father has only just heard of Benedict Cumberbatch and thinks his name is so hilarious that he's constantly saying it aloud and chuckling to himself.
Well, it's kind of like what John Travolta with, oh my God, it's Beryl Cumsnatchel. It's such a great name, and it's the most English name of all time.
Benedict
Cumberbatch, or Ben to his friends, I'm sure. But it is a funny name the first time you heard it, and now he's already a bit of a royal treasure, isn't he?
Yeah.
But I got 5 minutes into one of Jamie's 30-minute meals, then realised I'd forgotten to grow a herb garden in my kitchen. Yeah, just all British cookery programmes can go fuck themselves. I know that cooking is big both sides of the Atlantic at the moment, but it seems to be of just going to knock something together and they pull stuff out I've never fucking heard of.
I remember once, was it? I don't think I bought it, but I think I looked at it and I was going to read some reviews of it. I saw it in Borders of all places, which is an old, now no longer exists, English bookshop. I think it was Delia's Frugal Recipes. And then literally it was just these are all the things that you just have in the pantry.
Yeah.
And one of the
have a fucking pantry.
One of those things was truffle oil, which for one turns me into a beetroot. I go bright purple pretty much. I've definitely got some sort of allergy.
Note to self, don't give you that. Okay.
Well, there's some sort of
truffle
oil thing that I literally turned bright red. But yeah, okay, so yeah, everyone has truffle oil that is $12 in their pantry, obviously.
Yeah.
Standard.
I think it's obviously frugal for Downton Abbey.
It's which world are you living in, bitch?
Yeah, it's not good. Number 18, at £4.89, $9-10 roughly, yeah.
$9.
A ham sandwich, a bag of crisps, and a bottle of water is neither a meal or a deal. We have an obsession in the UK with lunchtime commuters who pop out of the office or the shop wherever they're working to go to certain shops like Boots or Marks and Spencers, all very middle class British stores, to buy a meal deal, which is normally a packed sandwich, which is covered in fucking mayonnaise to keep it fresh. A bottle of Diet Coke and a packet of hula hoops. That's not lunch. That's not good for you. And it's fucking ridiculously expensive. But, yeah.
Yeah. I accidentally bought a bottle of Coke with Richard on it, and our co-workers won't stop making jokes about a dick in my mouth.
I didn't find that one very funny, because I can't stand the whole fucking Coke bottle thing. People with names on the bottles.
I thought it was... that's maybe not quite an appropriate story.
No? Are you sure? Why is it not appropriate, Kia?
I was going to say something to do with all of the names, but now I'm not.
Why is that, Kia? Is there a story that isn't appropriate for air or appropriate for me?
I think last year we was when they sort of started doing this.
Yes, it was.
A friend and I ended up walking into I think it was a Boots, and looking up at the shelf of the bottles of Coke that were there, and two of the names that were on there were two guys I was sleeping with, so that we then spent the next 10 minutes trying to find all of the names of other guys that I slept with.
Wow.
And just lined them all up on the shelf.
You're such a whoreback.
Oh, it was so funny.
Did you find them all?
No.
Was it like your own version of Pokemon?
It was a little bit Pokemon.
Gotta catch them all!
No, because some people that I'd slept with have weirdly spelt names.
Yeah. The one thing I did like, which has been going around on social media, is someone got the one with Dana written on the side of it. Right, let's ask this question first. Have you seen Ghostbusters?
Yes, very long
Thank
time.
Fuck for that. The whole thing about there is no more Dana, is there only Zool?
Yes.
Yes. Someone had got there and crossed out Dana and written Zool underneath it, and I was like, that's quite cool.
Yeah.
But that whole Coke, I don't know if they've got it on the other side of the, I'm sure they've got it in the US as well. But fuck it, it's so irritating. Tesco's want £2.50 for an empty jam jar. On the next aisle, they're charging 30p for the same fucking jar filled with pickled onions.
Yeah. It is that thing of just like, oh, look, you can buy mason jars. Or you could just buy jars with shit in them, eat the shit out of it, and then wash it.
That's just capitalism at its best.
WH Smith charges you 1p for a plastic bag because they're being environmentally conscious, and then give you an entire tree's worth of receipts and discount vouchers. They are the one place that literally that machine just like...
It's like, can I go? I'm standing here waiting for you to tell me that my change is correct.
Yeah.
I just want to leave. I don't want the fucking receipts. And it's like, get £5 off this. Get £2 off this. Stuff I don't want to buy.
No.
On top of that, that's when they've offered you the slab of chocolate for £1. Do you want any chocolate? No, I don't want the 2x4 of chocolate, thank you, for £1.
The worst thing with WH Smith is that they have this fucking... What paper is it? I don't know what paper it is. There's the Buxton's Water deal.
No
that
idea.
It's like...
It's probably the Mail or the Express.
It might be. I think it's the Daily Express. It's like £1.89 for a litre bottle of Buxton's Water. But if you buy the Daily Express, which is like £1, you get the bottle of water for free.
I still wouldn't do it. And I wouldn't buy it. It's Daily Express.
But I'm like... Really? Almost 99% of the people that are buying this are just buying it so they can get cheap water.
Fair enough.
This I loved. We ran out of Yorkshire tea bags at work, so now I have to drink Tetley like some kind of animal. I just looked at it, I was like...
I think that's one that has to be stitched over, actually. Because Tetley is... piss.
Yes.
It's such a horrible tea
but
bag.
But it's the tea bag as well that always tends to be in foreign countries as British tea. And
yeah.
I'm like, no. Actually, PG Tips is a big one to always be. But no, it's just genuinely
If you do love your tea and you're not from our shores, somehow get your hand on a box of Yorkshire tea bags because it's fucking lush. It's proper tea. It's one of the only good things the Northerners can do in this country, apart from go on strike. So I really recommend it.
Oh, I loved this. If Google Fiber comes to the UK, I worry they won't spell it F-I-B-R-E correctly.
Yes, because it's not meter. It's M-E-T-R-E, not M-E-T-E-R. They spell things incorrectly in America. Colour has a U in it. Yeah. Favour has a U in it.
I know.
They're bastardising our language.
Yanks.
Just, yeah.
They're not speaking English.
I do want Google Fiber to come. Do you know what Google Fiber is?
Isn't it the wire completely...
It's like terabyte downloads.
Yeah.
It's like that will just... But you still...
Can you imagine how quickly I can get my Vampire Diaries to download?
But you can imagine how quickly your porn will still be blocked.
I know. Seriously. Seriously.
This one I've got a bit of a problem with. The Canadians have stolen our stereotype of being polite, but we're just too polite to make a fuss over it. Fuck you, Canada. It's like, you're America light. That's all you are. You're just there. You're there keeping a load of land warm for when America realises it's run out of resources and decides to invade you. That's all you are. You haven't got an army. You haven't got anything.
They're lovely. Eh?
They are lovely. They're great people. That's why America's going to steamroller them.
Every pub meal is now served on a fucking chopping board.
Sandwiches, chips, or fries, everything comes on a fucking chopping board. Where's my plate? Where's my knife and fork?
You still get a knife and fork, but it's on a chopping board. Certain things that I don't mind being on a chopping board, but
rustic, everything. Yeah. I told my friend to pop round whenever, and she actually turned up unannounced.
This is a... See, Northerners will do this.
Yeah.
Northerners...
They leave their doors unlocked.
What's wrong with them? They will turn up... And I've had people previously turn up from Newcastle in London... Not a massive way in terms of American things. That is a long fuck-off way.
Today's commute. Yeah, it's a long old travel.
What the fuck, people? Imagine if no one had been in.
Imagine if I was doing things which I probably would be doing if I was alone in my house. It's like, I don't want to be disturbed. Fuck off.
Not knowing whether to search for United Kingdom, Great Britain or England on drop-down boxes.
Yeah, we have a lot of identities.
Yeah.
Do you know a difference?
United Kingdom includes Scotland and Northern Ireland and Wales. Great Britain is Scotland, Wales and England is just England.
Hold on.
Scientists have slaved for years to produce a sheet of material one atom thick. Unfortunately for them, the makers of my bin bags beat them to it.
Fucking hate that. Just I hate bin juice. If I've got no socks on, it's quite nice. If I have to go outside, I'll chuck on my flip flops to go out to the bins, and the bag will split and just drop shit all over my feet. It's disgusting. I always say excuse me when what I really mean is get the fuck out of my way. I'm not going to say that word. No. I'm not going to say the R word because I think that's a horrible word. Get the fuck out of my way, you cunt. What made you think that was a sensible place to stand, you fucking wanker? Yeah, that applies a lot to people who...
It normally applies to me when people are standing...
On a pavement.
On the left-hand fucking side of the escalator.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that applies everywhere around the world.
Move, bitch.
Around
the world. Get out the way.
Yeah, that does apply. Go on, the next one.
The 3-second jingle for BBC One on the iPlayer is significantly louder than the programmes.
But things like Netflix does that as well.
Adverts in general do tend to be louder.
It's like, we can see you've gone to the kitchen to make a cup of tea. We're still going to try and get you to buy shit.
It's like, no. Fuck.
Guess what? Because you're recorded. And when I come back to the sofa, I'm going to fast forward through you.
Oh, I love that. I do that. I used to do that. Especially when Bravo, which is a channel over here, had the UFC. And I remember one time there was a 3-hour-long recording of it. And I think we got an hour 20. It was 50-50, basically, between adverts on Bravo and fights. And I just remember them going to commercial during the fight. I'm like...
Yeah, such an American
you have
thing.
Got to, it wasn't... It wasn't on pay-per-view.
No, but UFC would probably dictate to Bravo about that. Because that's why soccer, I mean, it's starting to take off now, but they said it's 45 minutes without any breaks. It's like, we need to sell advertising space. You look at NFL... Well,
UFC was selling it as a pay-per-view. They don't need or expect any fucking advert breaks because it's a fucking pay-per-view.
Yeah.
So why on earth am I ending up with all of this bullshit shoved in between rounds? Rounds of fights? Are you insane? Are you genuinely shitting me? So mad.
Sky were doing that. They tried doing pay-per-view Premier League football matches for a while. And it'd be like, I think it was £60 for the year and you got so many matches, or a tenner per game. So I'd pay a tenner if it was like a big Liverpool game they decided to do it on, and inevitably it would end up being a shit game. It's like, so not only am I paying a Sky subscription per month, I then paid £10 extra to watch this game and you still have adverts?
Yeah, see, that's
and it
the
failed.
One thing
it failed
I do
miserably.
Like about buying like a WWE pay-per-view or a UFC pay-per-view is the
it's continuous, yeah. Okay, last two. Lorry is travelling at 56.0023 miles per hour that feel a desperate urge to overtake other lorries that are travelling at 55.9981 miles per hour on the only stretch of dual carriageway for the next 20 miles. you're not going to get that as somebody who doesn't drive. But basically, you've got a two-lane road. Yeah, not like one which goes one way and the other. Like two lanes going in the same direction. The law basically states, like on a motorway, which is three lanes, they're not allowed in the far lane. But if it's on a two stretch, the fucker will sit up the backside of another lorry and go, do you know what? I think I can take him. Pulls out and then...
spends the next 20 minutes attempting to overtake it.
Yes. While us fuckers in our cars who are capable of all of acceleration are stuck behind these cunts, and it's just the most irritating thing in the world.
Sitting at the front is having a natter between
Yeah, probably are. On their phones, yeah, getting blown by the hitchhiker they've picked up, whatever. Yeah, just, yeah. Anyway, and the last one. Sorry, guys, this has gone on quite a bit.
I want the London look, but my front teeth touch, which is actually to do with Rimmel London.
I don't get it.
Is basically, we seem to have a thing of getting British models to do sort of Rimmel London, which was a big advert campaign as well. But like loads of...
Kate Moss did it, didn't she?
Yeah, but it's just like, oh, get the London look. And it's just like massive gappy teeth.
That's because we're British. We all have big gappy teeth and that's the whole...
I have...
No, but did you have braces as a child? Yeah, that's the thing. Well, obviously in the States, it's a very big thing that they all have braces to make their teeth all perfect.
Because it's a good thing to do.
But, no, but it doesn't mean their teeth are healthy. They're just all straight.
But it also means they get used to going to the dentist and aren't scared of it and go and do keep up with all of that type of stuff.
True. Fair enough. But that list was...
I did love that list today because it was all just such...
And it is being shared.
Wank.
Yeah, and it is being shared around absolutely everywhere. So it's actually quite nice for us on the British podcast to actually talk about something inherently British. But to finish off, we're going to talk about something inherently American. We talked a couple of podcasts ago about you watching Breaking Bad.
Yep.
And you were about what, season 3?
Yeah.
You've now finished it.
I finished it.
So you want to go back. And firstly, what did you think of the show overall?
I absolutely loved it. I fell in love with or hated certain characters. The acting was absolutely amazing. And it was very real. It just, for everything that happened, I felt that it wasn't... It didn't jump the shark.
No.
I don't felt that it jumped the shark at all.
No.
And it's very... To get through that many seasons without doing that, I think is impressive, because every single show normally does.
Well, I think the good thing is Vince Gilligan basically was like, I've got a story and it's Mr. Chips become Scarface. So the cute, nice, wouldn't say boo to a goose teacher becomes, you know, a psychopath, basically. And I think, you know, that's a finite story. You can't drag that out over 10 years. So I think he very much had in mind from the beginning, this is going to be 5 seasons. And he's admitted, you know, we had to like write, they had to write themselves out of corners at certain situations. Like, for example, the whole scene where like Walt and Jesse are caught on the RV and Hank shows up. It took him about 2 weeks to come up with a solution to that. They're like, fuck, what do we do? But yeah, I'm so glad you've watched it, and you've now watched Star Wars as well. You've become 11% more attractive to me.
Go fuck yourself.
It's like, if it was a role-playing game, you would have got 10 charisma points. So, I'm just...
You are beyond a douchebag.
Indeed. So, we have here my awfully written notes from a couple of episodes ago.
So, yeah, this was who survived and what.
Shall we go through them?
Yeah, go on then.
So, the first one, that Hank ends up defending Walt and that Hank survives. Oh, bear in mind, big fucking spoilers. If you haven't watched Breaking Bad, this is the last part of the podcast, so we'll say goodbye to you now. Bye.
Bye, see ya.
Okay, for the rest of us who have watched Breaking Bad, we'll stick around. Hank defending Walt and Hank survives. And this is like basically where Walt would die, I'm guessing.
Yeah.
You thought that Hank would survive but Walt would die because you knew that because it had been spoiled for you. Wow, how wrong you were.
I know, massively wrong. And obviously, yeah, Hank went on completely wanting to take Walt down.
Mm. So. Yeah, and went on a mission to, and yeah, lost.
Yeah, but, you know, that was his downfall, because he should have just told, but, he, you know, his pride.
And he tried using Jesse to trick him, and
his pride.
Speaking of Jesse, you heard that Jesse would push his luck with Gus, but would end up alive, so well done. You said that Jesse ended up alive, but it wasn't Gus, it really was taken out of the equation for you.
Yeah.
And Jesse, poor bastard.
I absolutely adore Jesse.
Let's not forget, he did kill people.
I don't care. It's like, I still like Walt.
None of these people are good. They're all morally, like, corrupt people. None of them. There's no people in this
show. You've met my friends, right?
Yeah. Doesn't matter. It's fine. None of these people are any good.
I don't care.
Okay. All right.
I like them. I like Walt. I like Jesse.
Okay. You also then had Gus to survive.
I know.
But Gus to be responsible for Walt's death.
I was wrong on both counts.
Completely wrong.
Completely.
Because I don't think you could have predicted the Nazi uncle coming out of bloody anywhere. Because it was such
to be honest, we were talking about this the other day, and you were saying that you were a bit upset about, you know, that you would have liked Gus to be the big bad. But I think the whole point of
Or someone connected to Gus.
No, I liked the progression of the story of just like, this person is gone, something else will pop up in its place, as it normally does. Mm. So very much Law of the Jungle of just...
Yeah. So the White family...
Yes.
You had Flynn down as dying.
Yeah, he's still there with his cereal.
Still there with his cereal munching away. And little Holly.
Oh, she's so beautiful.
That scene where he goes to see her for the last time and picks her up breaks me. Just absolute. I remember watching that at yours last summer... where I was staying at yours, like, most weekends, I'd wake up on a Monday morning and we'd have to wait till about 9:30, 10 o'clock, and Netflix would upload the new episode. Because in the UK, the people who had the rights to Breaking Bad decided it wasn't really worth it after season two, so they gave up the rights. So Netflix bought them up, which meant that we would get it on Netflix hours after it went out in the US.
But yeah, Holly. Aww.
It was adorable. And the last scene with like Skylar and things were just very moving. And not getting a chance to say goodbye to Flynn as well. But yeah, Flynn survived. Then the last two had here was Saul to be alive, which I think you kind of knew what with Better Call Saul coming along.
But I didn't really know anything about that. And it very much could have been prequel, which would... be a lot more interesting because
well they've now confirmed it's going to be a prequel, a same time call and a sequel, because obviously he's a lot older than what he was when he was in it, so he's aged a bit.
Yeah,
but they can't obviously having a storyline, and you'll see this when we come to watch like the Star Wars prequels, you've got there's no element of drama with certain characters because you know who they are later on, so when they're in a perilous situation you're like, well, they're going to walk away from this.
Yeah.
So they've got to kind of show him, like, the aftermath of what happened with Heisenberg and everything, as well as his prequel. But, yeah. And the last one, you did get this right. Do you know what the last one was?
I think it was Mike.
Yeah, it was Mike. That one upset you.
I was so upset, because I liked Mike so much.
And he went out like a pussy.
He didn't go out, he just... fucking Walt. That was one time that I was really angry
with Walt. But it
wasn't...
That's what I mean, though. It was like... Walt, it was almost like he slapped him around the face. The way he shot him was like he tried to stop him from going anywhere, but ended up shooting him in the stomach. You know, just... Yeah. And it was no... And then realising...
He got the red mist.
Yeah, it was very much. And then he realised the information that he needed, he could have got from... Yeah.
Lydia, that Lydia. Cunt.
Yes, and luckily she saw a bad... Well, we assume, we don't see her die, but... It's...
She best be dead. If she turns up, I will not...
What, in Better Call Saul? Yeah. I can't see it. I can't see it. I think she's dead.
I hated that bitch.
Yeah, she was a nasty character. But you did poorly, really. But I think that's good. I think if you're gone, let me tell you what's going to happen. Hank's going to end up out in the desert. He's going to end up being shot by some random new character. Like, if you predicted it, I hate TV shows where I can see things coming from a mile off.
Walt got killed by himself.
Well, yes, he did.
He got shot by the gun that he put in the back of the...
He did. What did you, it was a bit James Bond, wasn't it?
I did really like that.
Did you, what point did you kind of figure that out? Is it when
when it opened.
So not even when he was in the desert making, like, something. Okay. But when he suddenly sort of went and then just took out the Nazis,
I think I was clapping at that point.
I think you were actually whooping.
There was whooping.
Yeah. Oh, no. I think when you whooped more was when Jesse got onto Thingy's back.
And he Todd. No Country for Old Men styled him. Yeah. Oh.
Broke his neck. Well, crushed his neck.
Kill him.
So, yeah.
Yeah, that was a definite thank fuck for that.
And then Walt got to kill Uncle Jack.
I loved that.
Yeah. It's like, oh, let me tell you where your money...
Don't give a shit. Yeah. This is all over now.
Mm. And it was. Everything was wrapped up nicely as well. There was no loose ends, really. I mean, there were some questions, but nothing of... It wasn't, like, lost when that ended. And everyone's like, okay, so here's 50 questions that you didn't answer because you wanted to be mysterious. But
yeah, no, I enjoyed it. I enjoyed the fact that Walt finally was able to... You never 100% know with Walt, but was at least able to give Skylar the answer that she deserved, and which was actually the truth, which it wasn't for the family. No. It was for him.
Yeah, it was an ego trip.
Yeah. And so I really enjoyed that. I couldn't have been happier that Jesse got away.
His little tears in his eyes, he breaks through the gate.
So excited for him. I was so excited for him when he managed to get, you know, piled everything up and got out and hit the fence. And I was just like, run, Jesse, run! And those dick faces then shot his girlfriend in the back of the head.
In the face, wasn't it?
No. Nope.
Did she turn around? Oh, did he?
No, he was like, Jesse's over there in the car over there. And she was like, where? So she walked further out onto the porch. And
oh,
he was like,
right.
Just want you to know this is nothing personal, and she hadn't turned around. No. I don't think by the time
that's
shot.
A fucking horrible way to like to be there and then not be there. That's just
it's not necessarily the worst way to die. You don't know.
No. So, true. But yeah, to like suddenly like, not exist anymore. It's like fuck. Yes. Yeah,
it's worse for everyone else around you when things like that happen.
Yeah.
It's like
wow, that's a somber note. Mm. With that, I think we'll end it there.
Have a good evening.
I need to go and have cupcakes and rainbows. I need warm, nice things. Thank you very much for listening, guys. I hope that's been entertaining for you. As ever, please do remember to come check us out at Need to Consume. We celebrated Batman Day this week.
Oh my God, it was so cool.
We had a ton of articles from the Batman serials in the 40s, 66 Batman, 89 Batman. We had someone, now brace yourself, someone defended Batman and Robin. You need to go read this article and leave some comments because I'm waiting for someone to blow up about it and no fucker has so far.
I think everyone is more in shock.
Yeah.
I think it's more down to the fact of you must be shitting me. Mm. Can't be real.
Yeah. And also you can check us out, our own podcast, which is with Dapper and Pirate Moggy over at 3BODS1POD. And where can they find your cosplay page, sweetie?
They can find us on Facebook at Kia Maria Cosplay.
And you've definitely picked up some likes.
Yeah, we picked up a huge ton of likes and we picked up some people through the podcast. So, you know, come on over, say hi. And there's a whole load of new pictures up of me and Maria as Elsa and Anna. So you've heard me, I think, stitching away in the background. And now you can see the finished pictures.
That picture of you that you've kind of edited as well is badass.
Yeah. Looks like pretty cool.
Cool. So thank you very much, guys. Obviously, do check out the rest of the One of Us podcast. And I just want to say I'm so fucking jealous of Brian and Chris right now, who are in San Diego for Comic-Con. So fuck you both.
Go fuck yourselves. And everybody else, we'll see you soon.
Bye.